The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel, Tupper's Plains, Ohio, connecting people to God. Join us now for an anointed message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Topic this morning is fear is a liar. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. Remember that. It's torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Now, this is not a message to condemn people who experience fear. This is a message to encourage you that you can overcome fear. Whatever the thing is that you're fearing most, God is there for you. And his perfect love will cast out fear. But there are some steps that we have to take as believers in Jesus Christ to overcome fear. You don't just say, God, help me with this fear. That's the first step. You get to cry out to the Father. But then the Father gives us some ways that we can deal with fear. Fear will overcome you. It'll tear you down. It'll torment you. It'll put you in chains. It will hold you back from accomplishing the kingdom purpose for which God has created you for.
That's right.
I know that for a fact. I believe it. I've seen it happen so many times in people's lives. You become so debilitated from the fear that you cannot do what you know God wants you to do. It's not that you don't want to do it. It's that this fear has overtaken you. I'm sure you can identify with this in some area of your life. Fear, according to Webster's Dictionary, is an unpleasant emotion caused by the belief that someone or something is dangerous and likely to cause pain. Fear is a feeling that's induced by a perceived danger or a threat in our life. It causes changes to take place in our body. In our brain, there's chemicals that are released. There's a metabolic and organ functions that ultimately change in our body because fear has overtaken us. It can be triggered by real circumstances or by just perceived circumstances, perceived threats. You don't always have to, it doesn't have to really be a real threat to you. If you think it's a threat, then the fear will overtake you. It may not be real, but in your mind, in my mind, it is real. And I don't make light of that, because anything that you feel is real, regardless of whether it really is or not, if it is to you, it's real. And it can destroy you. It can tear you down and put you down. Fear is a chain reaction in the brain that starts with stressful stimulus and ends with the release of chemicals that cause us to do one of several things. It'll cause you to flee. You've heard of the fight or flight, you know, that's a big deal, particularly in evolutionary realm, evolutionary teachings, that this is something that goes all the way back to our origin as even before we became to evolutionists, apes, okay, way back. Now, I don't buy into any of that stuff. I want you to understand. I believe in the creation story, and it's real. And there's plenty of evidence to it if they look around. Here's the crazy thing. You can go to mountains and see fossils that should be in the ocean, in the mountains. And yet, evolutionary belief system denies that there was a great flood. Now, there are more and more people realizing there was a great flood. Even many, many scientists. But the mainstream media and science will reject it. I don't care what they reject. What I know is for sure that my Bible is true and God is on the throne. He created everything and He's been telling us what He's going to do in the future through this book, and we can document that He has done the things that He said He was going to do, and He's going to do the things that have not happened yet. Amen? That's a living God we serve. So there's things that take place. People freeze sometimes. You know, we had this Alice training on Saturday for anybody who wanted to come. And the basic tenet of that is that we wanted to be trained because there's shootings going on all over the place. And we wanted to recognize that there are certain ways to handle it. How many know that we put our faith in God, but we do not just ignorantly go on about doing things the way we used to do them when there is a threat? You know? We're talking about fear this morning. If you prepare yourself, the fear of the threat is diminished, no matter what you're doing. So, anyhow, we had this training, and part of what they talked about was the reality that things happen in your brain when you become fearful. Some people freeze, can't move. Some people run. Some people want to fight, stand and fight. And then a threat like a gunman, that may not be the best thing to do. Right? So that's why we try to think clearly prior to the situation so that we have a plan of action. God is still on the throne. And He's leading and directing His people. Now, there are natural fears and there's unnatural. Science would probably call them rational and irrational fears. A natural fear is that I recognize that I do not want to get in a cage with a hungry lion. Amen? That's a healthy fear, right? Okay. An irrational fear or an unnatural fear is that I become fearful and anxious every time I see a lion, no matter where it is, even if I see one on TV. That's irrational. Why do I have that? Why is it there? Well, sometimes we can explain it, sometimes we can't. But I can tell you this, if you have a fear like that, regardless, for most of us sitting around here, if you're sitting beside somebody that would be terrified of a lion, if we put a picture of a lion up there, you would think, what is wrong with that person? But that person is experiencing real fear and anxiety for whatever reason. Do you understand, you know, how important this is that we not try to label people as crazy just because they have a fear of something? It may not seem rational to you, but fear is fear, and it's a tactic of the enemy to destroy, tear down, and destroy people. A pastor was speaking one Sunday morning, and he was really getting fired up. He was Jerry up here shouting and screaming, you know, just telling everybody how much God was on the throne. But this pastor, he was getting a little carried away that morning. He was talking about Satan and hell, and he got so carried away that he said, "I just defy Satan to show up here in this place." And poof, suddenly Satan showed up. He was there. Everybody cleared out of the church except one man who was sitting on the front pew. The devil did everything he could to scare this guy. Got right in his face, and he just sat there like stone. Finally, he just gave up. He said, "Okay, I'm the devil, and you're not afraid of me?" The guy said, "Nope, I've been living with your sister for 30 years. That is. But it may be true for some people. Sister or brother, who knows? But whether our fears are rational, we know Satan's not going to poof show up. He's much more shrewd than that. He's wise. Now, his wisdom is tainted because of his evilness, but he is a wise creature. That's why you cannot take the enemy on by yourself. You are not nearly as wise as he is. He's been around for thousands of years. Thousands and thousands of years. We don't know how long the angels were created before God created the earth. We have no idea, but we know that he had great wisdom. God gave it to him when he created him, and great beauty. So he's not going to show up here and try to deceive us in where we could naturally see him as he really is. He's going to sneak in. He's going to sneak into your life. And he's going to plant thoughts, and he's going to use experiences to create fear and anxiety in your life. Because that's his purpose, is what? To steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to in every life, in every church, in every pastor, in every congregation, in every community, in every nation. He wants to do it worldwide. But we have a defense against him. We have the power of our living God. All right, let's look at some unnatural, irrational fears. Now, in some places, there's reason to have some of these fears, but not to the point that a lot of people have them. The first one is arachnophobia. And we probably all know this because there was a movie several years ago. I don't remember how long ago. It was a long time ago. Arachnophobia is the fear of spiders. And some people have an incredible fear. I've known men that I would go into battle with, but they're afraid of a spider. Now, that doesn't make logical sense to me, but that person was very afraid of a spider every time they saw one. I have a good friend, well, you all met him, Jay Dewhurst, who is a missionary, and the first place I ever went with Jay was to Haiti, and in Haiti, they have huge spiders. They're called tarantulas, but they're not the tarantula like most people would see, the big black ones. But they're huge, great big spiders. Now, Jay was terrified of spiders. He would go any place. He didn't care how dangerous it was, but he hated spiders. So when we went to Haiti, there was spiders everywhere. There were spiders in your room. And Jay had a really difficult time, but he overcame his fear because he wanted to minister to people. And I want you to understand, when you have the right motivation, you can overcome any fear. Amen? Acrophobia is the fear of heights. Some of you may have that fear. It's pretty common. Necrophobia is the fear of dead things or death itself. Ophidiophobia, fear of snakes. A lot of people have fear of snakes. Now, there's a good reason to have some fear of the right kind of snakes. You know, we do have copperheads around here, and once in a while, a rattlesnake will show up in the woods, a timber rattler. So, you know, you got to be cautious. But we're talking about unnatural. You just see it, boom, you're terrified. Aerophobia is the fear of flying. Many people deal with that. 6.5% of the world's population have a fear of flying. Agoraphobia is the fear of open or even crowded spaces. Cynophobia, the fear of dogs. Claustrophobia, Many people deal with claustrophobia. About 5 to 7% of the world's population suffer from claustrophobia. Astrophobia. Yes, sir.
I don't think you said what claustrophobia. I know what it is.
Oh, I did not. Claustrophobia is the fear of tight spaces, like an elevator. A lot of people who have claustrophobia have a hard time getting on an elevator. Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate that. Or restricted, small and restricted spaces. Astrophobia is the fear of thunder and lightning. I need to say this one right. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. Chlorophobia. C-O-U-L-R-O-P-H-O-B-I-A-A-I-A. Anybody know what that one is? That's right. Fear of clowns. It seems to be a growing fear in our society. Maybe it's because there was some movies that were produced that were pretty nasty, killing clowns that killed people. I did not see it. I don't have any idea what the script was, except I know the basis of it, that these were nasty clowns. But people had fear. Little kids sometimes have fear of clowns. You know, and you think about that, you know, a clown is a pretty scary thing to a little kid. Doesn't matter. I know we think, well, they're dressed up to look funny. They do look funny to a little kid, and that's pretty scary sometimes. So, you know, I can understand it. Now, here's what I want you to notice. All these things end with the word phobia. And phobia is an exaggerated, unusual, inexplicable, and illogical fear of a particular object, class of objects, or a situation. These are all phobias that people have. They're irrational in many cases. Doesn't matter. They're still fears. But I believe God wants to heal people of all kinds of fear. But I want to tell you the number one fear that people have. Anybody want to guess what number one fear people have overall? Fear what? Death. That's one of the phobias that people have, and I'd say that's probably a pretty big one. However, for those of us who know Christ as our personal Savior, that fear should diminish, should be gone. You know, in fact, according to the Scripture, we should be looking forward to that day. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, none of us want to part this earth too soon. You know, can't say that I'm ready to go. Let me rephrase that. I'm ready to go, unwilling to go right now. Okay? You know, that's just truth. You know, I have wonderful family, grandchildren. I want to experience life. I have a great church. I want to experience the church. I want to experience what God's going to be doing in the next 24 years. Amen? Okay. Well, as we talk about these things, I just want to try to get an understanding. Actually, the number one fear overall that people have is the fear of failure. And the fear of failure plays into a lot of things in our life. People fear that they're going to fail to do things. Now, let me show you how this works. This morning, Sister Ivy asked us to clap a little different. Amen? Amen? You know, how many of you froze when she said do that? Some of us, okay. I mean, you're being honest. How many of you had a little bit of anxiety when she said, now, we're going to clap a little different this morning. Yeah, I've got people shaking their head. Yeah, I felt some anxiety. I can be honest with you. I don't have much timing. That's rhythm. So, yeah, a little anxiety. But, you know, I was able to follow Ivy and she showed us what to do. But this is a classic example of how the fear of failure will cause you to freeze up or not be able or not even want to try. Because what? Why didn't we want to do it? Because we were afraid we would not be able to. We were afraid we would fail. Now, Ivy did a great job of explaining it to us and helping us through it. And at part of the thing of one of the things of overcoming fear is being clear about how you can overcome it, how you can do the thing that you thought you couldn't do. So I really appreciate the fact that she worked this right into my sermon this morning. Amen. You know that the next thing that is a fear that people have, and I'm going to hit a lot of you here this morning, and that is the fear of public speaking. Did they say that? Okay. Yeah, that's number two. Fear of public speaking, you know, people. And the reason failure is number one is because people fear public speaking because they're afraid they're going to get up and make a fool of themselves. Amen? Okay. You know you can do that and still continue to live life. I do that all the time. And I'm still alive. I still function. I'm still able to get through this life. You know, if you take a chance, you're going to fail sometimes. You know, I tell jokes sometimes and you people, it goes right over your head. I thought that was really funny. You didn't hear it. Now, it's not your fault. It's my delivery or it's something that I didn't explain it completely. And you guys, everyone, you're all so gracious that you try to laugh even when I tell something that's not funny. Try to make me feel good. But you know what? You know what I have to do? I have to say, okay, that one's no good. I got to get that out of my notes. I'm not going to use that one anymore. I'm going to use the one that everybody liked. Now, I want you to understand something. I don't go around telling jokes. The only time I tell jokes, is in my messages. And the reason I do it is to make a point. A little bit of humor helps people to loosen up a little bit. And if I use the right one, it hits home. I can say things through a joke that I couldn't say otherwise or shouldn't say. But everyone gets the point. So I want you to understand, I don't just tell jokes for the sake of telling the joke. I want it to make a point. I want it to say something to you that helps you in your life. Okay, I really need to move on with this. The fear of failure comes upon people because they tried once, and in your mind, it was a huge disaster, so you're not going to go there again. You learned your lesson. You can't do that, and you're just not even going to try anymore. That's an enemy's tactic. The enemy wants to keep you from accomplishing what he called you to. And even, listen, failure is not the end of life. What we call failure really should be a stepping stone to the next level. Okay, I made a mistake. I'm going to change, just like I do with my jokes. I'm going to take that one out. That's no good. But I found one that was good, and I use it. And sometimes I have to take a chance because I haven't used this one before, so I'm going to see how it goes over. I have to take a chance. I might fail. It's not the end of the world. All right. I want you to be thinking about this as we go through this message. I'm just getting started with this. We're going to talk about one part of this message this morning, but I just want you to understand you may have unnatural fears. You may have some of these fears that we're talking about. You can overcome. You will be victorious. But I can tell you this, being passive toward your fear will not overcome that fear. Fear is a tactic of the enemy. I can tell you the one that's really the liar, Satan is the liar. His demons are liars. And if we understand what the Scripture said, God has not given us what? Spirit of fear. Yes, sir. And we're talking about unnatural fear there. The spirit, there is a spiritual force that is connected to the fear that is unnatural in our lives. So we will be overcomers. Teddy Roosevelt said, "He who makes no mistakes makes no progress." So if you're not making mistakes, you're probably not doing anything. Let's make some mistakes together. Amen? Let's move forward. A few years ago, if you wanted to take a picture, you had to take a picture with a camera and send the negative to a place where they would develop it for you. They had dark rooms and they developed, had a process. In fact, up in Coolville, Best Photo was a very popular place that people sent. It was a company that was very prosperous for many years. Of course, things started changing, so didn't need Best Photo any longer. But they had the process where you sent your negative and you got the photos back. Some people who were really into taking pictures, photography, had dark rooms of their own, and they developed their own film. You could do that. You had to have the right chemicals. You had to have the dark room, completely dark, and you could develop your own photos. Today, we have smart cameras and phones to take digital pictures. Everybody's probably got, you've got a phone, you've probably got a bunch of pictures on your phone. In fact, I have too many pictures on my phone because my phone and Tammy's phone are linked together, and I can't get rid of her pictures. She keeps taking pictures and they show up. Well, that's just a problem I have. I have to deal with it. Now, the reason I'm telling you this is because I wanted to make sure that everybody understood this next statement that I'm about to make, because it was a quote, I have no idea who said it, but it was a quote from many years ago. And this quote says, "Fear is the dark room where negatives are developed." So now you have an understanding of there's a dark room, but fear is that dark room where negative things are planted in your mind. The spirit of fear does that to you. That's good. Spirit of fear. Okay. Now, a few other things I want to share with you. Wow. Time is slipping by here. Fear impacts your health. Fear will cause you to have the inability to relax. Now listen, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. God has given us the peace that is beyond all our understanding. So if you're unable to relax, and I got to tell you, I have experienced this time after time in my life. You know, we talked about public speaking being number one fear of people. I had that fear. I had to overcome that fear. Fear of public speaking, fear of being a pastor. You know, I had to jump in with 2 feet because God said do it, so I did it regardless of my fear. Now here's the thing. Sometimes when I'm done with my message and I go back and I shake hands, people say, "Wow, you got cold hands." You know what that is? That's the residue of my fear that the enemy keeps trying to bring up on me, because my extremities are, the blood vessels are contracting. And my blood flow is not good because of anxiety that the enemy tries to continue to put up on me. I refuse to receive it in Jesus' name. I'm going to overcome this thing. I'm going to keep on moving forward. I just want you to understand, just because God has given you the ability to overcome doesn't mean that the enemy won't still try to bring symptoms upon you. He'll do that. Okay, so inability to relax Anxiety and panic. Panic attacks are on the rise. People are having to deal with panic because they have to do things because they have to do things that bring fear, that cause fear in their life, and fear turns into anxiety and panic. And it's usually brought on by an unusual situation that occurred in a person's life. Here's what it also does. It weakens your immune system. Your body's not functioning properly. You are a spirit that lives in a body, that has a soul that lives in a body. But this body, soul, and spirit are all connected with one another. So in a spirit realm, if you're not free from the fears that would come up on you, it's going to affect your body. It's going to affect your immune system. Many people are sick and in hospitals because they have a weakened immune system based on fear and anxiety. Life happens to everyone. How are we going to deal with it? Next thing is depression. People become depressed because of fear. Fear will beat you down. Fear will overcome you. Fear is a tactic of the enemy. Heart damage. Because of the chemicals that are released in your body, it can create some heart damage. Fear impacts your memory. If you're in a situation where you get very stressed, it will impact your memory to the place that you cannot even recall things that just happened recently because of this stress that comes upon you. You cannot recall things that would usually just roll right off your tongue because of stress. It affects your memory. And then here's the big thing. This is what the enemy is after. It causes you to have a lack of confidence. If he can get you to a place where you have a lack of confidence, I'm not talking about being proud and arrogant and thinking you can take on the world, you can't. But I'm talking about being confident in what God has called you to. If the enemy can rob you from that, if he can take away the confidence that you need to be about the business of the kingdom, he will defeat you. If he can rob this church of the confidence that we are heading in the right direction and doing the things that God wants us to do, he will defeat you. He will defeat us. If he can rob me of the confidence that when I get up here on Sunday mornings, Holy Spirit is leading and directing me, I want you to understand something. Sunday morning is a stressful time for me. It is not because I have a lack of confidence in God, but I just never know where God's going to lead this congregation, what he's going to tell us to do. Ivy came to me this morning and she said, you know, that we still need to tear some things down. But she said, God hasn't given me any direction on that. It's all yours. Thank you, Ivy. But you know what? God is so faithful. It just like that. He said, do that song. You know, this is how I fight my battles. And I believe because of that, what would I call it? Maybe an envelope or an umbrella over the church that the enemy was trying to put over us. And because we followed through with what God intended us to do, there was power that brought that thing down. In the name of Jesus. God is alive and he is definitely on the throne. All right. I am not going to be able to continue this morning. I'm going to have to stop. I've already taken way too much time. I was going to talk about the first step in overcoming your fear. But I talked way too much. So, the first step is be aware of your fear. And we're going to get into this. There are several things that we're going to talk about in regards to fear. Be aware of your fear. Identify your fear. Listen, there is nothing like, in order to overcome your fear, there is nothing like understanding that you do have a fear and accepting that fact. And not being afraid to say, you know, I have a fear of this. You know, we're not here to condemn you. We're here to help you, to pray for you, to lift you up. I've been as honest with you this morning as I can possibly be about the fears that I've experienced in the past and the things that the enemy tries to put up on me, to hold me back. But I have a good group of people that are praying for me, encouraging me, helping me to stand. You know, Joy said to me this morning, she said, I don't tell you often enough, Pastor, but I just want to thank you. We were talking about the 24 years. She said, I just want to thank you for being faithful. Well, you know, my response to her was, I can be faithful because I have a faithful congregation, a faithful group of people like you that are praying for me and standing with me. That's why. We're in this thing together. We're going to overcome the fear of the enemy, the fears that the enemy would try to put up on us. We are going to walk in the power of God, and I don't care what any other church is doing around us. We're going to do what God tells us to do. Amen? Amen. And I got to tell you, sometimes that's a struggle for me because I see people doing things that appear to be something that everybody likes because a lot of people go or attend and are a part of it. I cannot take on the responsibility of being in competition with my brothers and sisters in Christ all in our area. I'm about serving the Lord and doing what He's called us to do. Amen. Stand with me.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber. I hope you've been blessed by this message because our desire is to connect you to God and His kingdom with anointed messages. If you have enjoyed this podcast and would like more information about our ministry, please visit our website at bethelchurch.community. And remember, love never fails.